KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. When the Board of Fisheries moved its Upper Cook Inlet finfish meeting from Kenai to Anchorage, it took a lot of people by surprise, among those the folks in Kenai. A recent report by the Alaska Ombudsman finds that the Board of Fish actions violated the state's open meeting law. A familiar name in the fishing industry has had his catch confiscated for allegedly fishing in closed waters near Sitka. Bob Thorstenson Jr. says he did not think he was over the line and plans to contest the charge. They're not naming it after the blob, but there's a new warming trend in the Pacific. Researchers say it's too early to say if this heat wave will be as destructive and cause as much havoc with fisheries as the original blob did 4 or 5 years ago. And finally, Bristol Bay sockeye salmon will land in the nation's capital this coming week. Nearly 30 restaurants are set to feature the famous fish between the 16th and the 20th. Promoters say they hope it will help consumers connect with the region and the people that depend on it. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their family. MC at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
The Alaska Board of Fisheries violated the state's open meeting law. That's according to Alaska's ombudsman that released a critical report recently saying that the board improperly shifted the location of its Cook Inlet finfish meeting earlier this year with little public notice. And as KBBI's Renee Gross reports from Homer, the location issue is expected to be revisited again next month.
When the Board of Fish moved its Upper Cook Inlet finfish meeting from Kenai to Anchorage, it took a lot of people by surprise. Kenai Mayor Brian Gabriel was one of them.
It was on the agenda. We just happened to get a heads up that they were going to consider that.
This is a big deal because for nearly two decades, these finfish meetings, which set fishing regulations for commercial, sports, and subsistence fishing, has been in Anchorage. But last year, the board decided to rotate the locations between Anchorage, Kenai Peninsula, and Matsu. Gabriel says fishermen from outside of Anchorage have been asking for this for years.
These meetings last for 2 weeks, and it's a commitment for folks to go up there and participate.
Gabriel says he thought the fight was finished after the board voted last year to hold its 2020 meeting on the Kenai Peninsula. And then word came down that the board was poised to reconsider at its January meeting in Anchorage. Gabriel and other area officials drove up to speak to board members, but then the message changed again.
We were told that they were not going to have the vote that day. Apparently they had some second thoughts about the public notice part of it. So we turned around and came home.
After they left, the board did vote after all. By a single vote, it changed the location of the 2020 meeting back to Anchorage. Board of Fish Chair Reed Morisky did not reply to a request for comment Wednesday, but in meeting tape from January, he admitted there had been some confusion in the room.
So I take full responsibility for that. There was no intent to mislead.
Investigators couldn't account for the last-minute change either.
He was not able to tell the investigator what the circumstances were that changed or how they had changed.
Alaska's ombudsman, Kate Burkhart, looked into the whole affair following a complaint to her office. But she says it was clear that the board wasn't following the rules.
It really did not follow the spirit of the law, which is that public entities do the public's work in public.
The ombudsman advised the board to hold a fresh vote, which it will do at its October meeting in Anchorage. Board of Fish Chair Reed Morisky wrote a letter to the ombudsman pledging the rotating meeting location policy will be revisited next month. Kenai's Mayor Brian Gabriel says he doesn't have a lot of faith the board will change course, but he says,
I hope they look at what they did and the effects of how those decisions have on our communities, and would give that some consideration.
Still, he says he's grateful the ombudsman stepped in. Reporting in Homer, I'm Renee Gross.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
A longtime fishing lobbyist has had his 41-ton salmon catch confiscated for allegedly fishing in closed waters near Sitka. Bob Thorstenson, Jr., a past executive director of Southeast Alaska Seiners Association, was commercial fishing recently in Crawfish Inlet when wildlife troopers say he came within 200 yards of a stream. Alaska Department of Fish and Game area biologist Eric Coonrat says the stream buffers are especially important to conserve native pink salmon. Drought conditions, he said, have had the pink salmon especially vulnerable near freshwater streams.
The vast majority of the run is sitting in saltwater in basically one giant school, and anybody coming in there with a seine could easily mop up 90% of the run for the year for that stream. And with a, you know, with pinks, it's a 2-year cycle, so you could basically destroy that stream for, you know, an even year or an odd year cycle for quite a period of time.
Seiners in the area were targeting chum salmon. Coonrat says the confiscated fish were these hatchery fish, and more than 83,000 pounds of chum seized from the fishing vessel Magnus Martins were turned over to a seafood processor. Thorstenson is a 55-year-old Juneau resident. He was registered as a state fisheries lobbyist as recently as last year. He told Coast Alaska he didn't think he was over the line and planned to contest the charge. He declined further comment. In fishing industry circles, Bob Thorstenson is a household name. Susan Doherty succeeded him as executive director of the Southeast Seiner Association in 2016. She's known him for more than 30 years.
You know, Bob has always been a highliner, as fishermen go. He's a very good fisherman. But more than that, he's always advocating and looking ahead to and seeing, you know, maybe stumbling blocks ahead for the industry and things like that. So he's really been, you know, really a long time kind of visionary of looking out for the best interests of especially the seine fleet in Southeast.
If convicted of the misdemeanor, Thorstenson faces up to $15,000 in fines, a 1-year imprisonment, plus the gross value of the catch, which was estimated to be about $50,000.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Scientists from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration announced on September 5th that millions of square miles of water in the Pacific Ocean are heating up. They're calling it a marine heat wave. And it looks pretty familiar. KMXT's Kavitha George has more from Kodiak.
This new warming trend in the Pacific started in mid-June. Ocean surface temperatures are up 2 to 3 degrees, which doesn't sound like much, but when we're talking about the ocean, it's enough to call a heat wave. NOAA oceanographer Andrew Lysing was on a call Thursday with reporters talking about the heat wave.
This current event that we're seeing right now ends up being the second largest marine heat wave that we have seen since 1981. And the only thing that's been bigger has been that, you know, what we call the blob of 2014-2015.
The blob was what people called the last marine heat wave in the Pacific. It wreaked havoc on the Pacific food chain, including the Gulf of Alaska, prompting multiple fishery disaster declarations. Both the blob and the current heat wave stand out as outliers, according to Lysing, both in size and strength. According to NOAA researcher Nathan Mantua, North Pacific waters were already a whole degree Celsius above normal due to climate change. And now this marine heat wave is making things worse, especially in places like the Bering Sea and the Arctic.
Alaska has had its own heat wave for months, all year. It started long before this West Coast event.
It's too early to know what the impacts on marine ecosystems will be. But the last blob provides something of a roadmap for what we might see, like an increase in harmful algal blooms or repeat of disastrously low salmon returns.
The ocean conditions can be stressful for the salmon if the temperatures get really warm and their food supplies are very poor.
Unfortunately, right now is not the best time to see the effects of warming on the ecosystem. Scientists are already looking ahead to spring when juvenile salmon start returning to the ocean, and things like algal blooms are more likely. And they're not just concerned about salmon, they're worried about all productivity in the food web being down, from plankton to seabirds and marine mammals. Despite the current alarm, it's important to note that the 2019 event is still fairly young, meaning the heat isn't as deep in as it was during the blob. It took several months to build, but researchers like Mantua still think it's possible that the heat wave will dissipate quickly before having a severe effect on the ecosystem. In Kodiak, I'm Kavitha George.
And finally this week, Bristol Bay sockeye salmon are set to make a splash in Washington, D.C. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has the details.
In what's got to rank near the top for savvy promotions, Bristol Bay sockeye salmon will be featured for a week at nearly 30 restaurants in Washington, D.C.
They signed up very quickly. All we had to do was tell people that, hey, we've got this massive wild salmon fishery in Bristol Bay, Alaska, largest in the world, you know, and we want to create a special event around that to connect people with the place that it comes from and the people.
Andy Wink is director of the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, funded and operated by fishermen. The name-building outreach is bankrolled by a 1% tax on the catches of the bay's nearly 1,600 drift gillnetters, a tax they've paid since 2006. For 2018, that added up to $3 million.
That report was from Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch, who says Bristol Bay Salmon Week in Washington runs September 16th through the 20th.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Renee Gross at KBBI in Homer, Jacob Resnick with Coast Alaska, Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch, and Kavitha George here at KMXT Kodiak. Good luck fishing, everyone, and remember, life vests really do save lives. Please use one. Your life vest just may save your life sometime. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.